Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we have the author of the new book called The Little Book of Healthy Beauty. It is a little book, but it is packed full of tips. And the author today that is with us, Dr. Pina Lujudice, and let me just tell you, I had to practice saying that name at least a dozen times before we got on the show. This is a really good initial interview, and we're actually having Pina back on the show at least once, if not two more times, to go into a deeper dive on essentially what we're talking about, how your beauty and your ability to age in a really amazing, positive, beautiful way is determined not just by your genetics. You can actually conquer your genetics, and beauty starts from the inside out. We're going to be talking about things that are well within your control for better health, but also better healthy beauty. And just to give you a little bit of background about our author that we're going to be interviewing today, she is a naturopathic doctor who focuses on the philosophy of combining excellent science-based care with the most natural methods to help the body heal itself. I love this. Her book opens up with a brief quiz to help readers identify their key areas for improvement and concludes with a customizable checklist to help them maintain their health plan. She is an outstanding expert, and I'm just looking at some of the things that we're going to be talking about, but this is really a good initial introduction to Pina, to what she specializes in, and I think it's going to motivate a lot of you, especially a lot of you ladies, to understand that so much of how you look and how you feel is tied together, and you can improve so much upon both on simple things, aren't going to cost you a lot of money, that can dramatically improve the way your future is going to play out. Tune into the show, and we'd love to hear your questions so that when we have Pina back on the show, we can answer specific questions related to healthy beauty.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and with me on the show today, I would like to welcome Pina. I'm going to hopefully not butcher your last name, Lujudice. Did I say it right? I know I probably screwed it up. Did I?
No, I'm so impressed. You did a great job.
I actually, folks, for everybody listening, when we first got on the call, I was telling her, oh, I know exactly how to pronounce your name, and I kind of butchered it. So when she told me how to say it, I actually wrote it out how I pronounced it. And I was so nervous just then that I was going to do it wrong. I just wanted to impress you. But I am super thrilled to have you on the show. And we will, of course, link this up in the show notes. But I was actually reached out to by Pina's PR group because she has this amazing book out called The Little Book of Healthy Beauty. When I went and clicked through and looked at what this book was about, I'm like, okay, number one, I am personally interested. When I got the book and I saw just looking through the chapters and how you talk about beauty coming from the inside out and how we're in control of so many things that can help us as we age and get older, and we can get older gracefully and enjoy it. I've always firmly believed that, but that's what your book is about. And I think rather than me summarizing it, I think a good way for us to start the show, Pina, is just to have you say, you know, for our listeners that are just hearing about you for the first time, how do you define what's healthy beauty? What does that mean to you?
Well, to me, healthy beauty is what is that indescribable but obvious radiance and beauty and energetic vitality exuded by people who are truly happy and healthy. So, you know, when you see someone who, you know, has that essence and glow, it's, you know, it's not just about their physical appearance. It's really about, you know, that spirit and that shine that comes through that, you know, we can all obtain with, you know, good, healthy lifestyle and wellness. So I definitely that's what inspired me to write the book, was to know, to, for everyone to know that everyone can obtain that glow.
And I love how, you know, I'm completely going to quote, this was a part of this press release, but I think it's just a brilliant stepping off point for a conversation, because I'll share from my own personal experience. I'm 48, and even though I'm going to keep it real, I have been, this is definitely when I hit 48, I started to go, okay, maybe it's time to start thinking about getting some work done on this car, you know? But I'm overall, even though I'm keeping it real and saying I would be interested in looking at some of that stuff, I feel really good about how I look, generally speaking, at 48. And yeah, I get my hair colored and yeah, I get my nails done, but I've always felt in my gut that part of the people that I tend to run into in our Fitfluential community and outside of it that look really great for their age, and that could be in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, beyond, it doesn't matter. They tend to be, as you said, healthy, happy. It's coming from within. It's not, you don't tend to run into folks like that that look remarkable, that you learn their age and you go, wait a second. And they say, oh, well, this is why. It's this pill that I take, or it's Botox. It's strictly this. It's that I stay out of the sun. It tends to be that they are healthy, that they're happy, and they have a good attitude. Furthermore, the people that I see that are aging horribly, people that look 20, even sometimes 30 years older, they're living life, they're down, they're negative, they're angry, they're bitter, they're frowning a lot, they drink a lot, they maybe smoke a lot, they use a lot of, you know, over-the-counter, they're not putting quality food and maybe a lot of medication into their body, and you see it. Is that maybe an oversimplification of some of the concepts that you cover in your book, or do you feel that that is part of what your research has found, is that if you have a good attitude towards life, you want to live healthy, and you're healthy and happy, that is going to make a huge difference on how you look on the outside. Is that true?
No, I absolutely agree with you 100%. I mean, I've been in practice for 13 years, and, you know, people will come in, you know, looking gray or yellow or drawn. And, you know, when, you know, they really empower themselves and really decide, I'm going to, you know, take this opportunity to make positive changes in my life. You know, for me, it's such a blessing and a gift to be able to see that transformation from someone who walked in, whether overweight or fatigued or sick with a condition, and, you know, like I said, gray or yellow looking, and they come out literally shining. So for me, it's super exciting just to see that empowerment, that, you know, that they've taken care of themselves and realized that, you know what, I do have the ability to heal, and my body does have the ability to change and heal. So it's amazing.
There's 6 or 7 points that are, again, I'm completely using a cheat sheet for this interview, you guys. This was, from Pina's PR agency. So I have to be honest with you, but these are perfect jumping off points for us here. And everything that you just said, I have noticed in my own life. And for those of you that have been following me, I had a really rough year in 2016 and earlier this year. And I call it the worst year of my life. And it was just a lot more stress in every area of my life than I could imagine. My health took a backseat. I was receiving some very poor guidance from some individuals that didn't really have the knowledge to be advising me. And all that said, as I got more stressed, as I got more upset, as I got more down, you could see it. You mentioned people's that come into your practice, their skin being gray or yellow. I could feel that my skin tone was dry. I felt drawn in my face. I didn't like the way I looked. And for people that have been following me on social media, they probably noticed I was posting a lot less. I didn't feel good about myself. I was gaining weight. My thyroid was, I had thyroid issues. I ended up with adrenal fatigue. I mean, you name it. I went through that drive-through of health issues, and I asked for everything on the menu. But as this year, I started taking steps to change things. I started working with my therapist and working on self-care and self-love and changing my attitude. in the past, and I actually just wrote about this on my blog today, in the past 6 to 8 weeks, I have had every individual that hasn't seen me in a while remark, you're glowing. You look so different. You look so vibrant. You look happy. Your skin looks great. You know, what are you doing? They're asking if I've had work done. And I'm not just saying this, everybody. It's coming from within. The more that I meditate every day, I feel better. And when you feel better, you're paying more attention to, you know, your skincare, to flossing, to using that charcoal activated, you know, toothpaste, whatever it is. So it really can, I'm a witness that it really can happen when you make yourself a priority. You can reverse a lot of the way that you look and also certainly the way you feel. So let's dive right in and get some tips directly from you, Pina, and your experience on what you've worked with clients on to improve just overall the aging process, but specifically also as well, you know, to develop that healthy beauty. And here's a quote. They talk about in your new book, The Little Book of Healthy Beauty, Pina explores the 6 master keys to health, longevity, and glowing beauty. This is what I love. Sleep, food, exercise, relaxation, detoxification, and supplement support. And I'm reading into this, but these are all the things that folks should be focused on if they really want to gain healthy beauty. So I'm going to let you start with sleep. We've talked a lot about the importance of sleep on the show. I certainly have seen it when I'm getting, you know, my beauty sleep. That's not just a saying. I can see a difference in myself. So what is so important about sleep for overall beauty and health that you've seen make a huge difference with your patients?
Right. I mean, I love, so far, I love the interview so far. I think you're doing great. And I'm excited to share this with everyone because I think what most people don't realize is that, you know, most people feel that they're the subject to their genetics and that my mother looked like this or my father had this disease or he looked like that. But most people don't realize that we absolutely have the power to change our genes. You know, there's a field of epigenetics, of which means of what occurs above the genes. And what we're finding more and more in research, it's are exactly these things. It's diet, it's lifestyle, it's our spirituality, it's how we relax, it's how we detoxify. All those things will determine if good or bad genes get turned on and off. And one of the main areas that there's research on is about sleep. You know, I tell patients all the time, you know, you could be exercising like a lunatic, but if you're not getting any sleep, you're not going to be any healthier. And it's not that I'm saying that I don't want patients to exercise, but really sleep absolutely is the cornerstone to health and longevity. Because what happens when we sleep, our brain does something called autophagy, which means it's our time for our brain and our body to detoxify every night. So when you're not sleeping, you're not getting sufficient amounts of sleep, you're inherently staying more toxic. Your hormones are not resetting. Your immune system's not resetting. So inherently, your body's just going to be more fatigued and you're just going to age quicker because your body's not going to be running as well as it's supposed to be. Mm.
And nobody gives that enough credit. They really don't. We actually did a Facebook Live session about sleep and I know that you will reinforce this idea that you hear this all the time, but it feels like there's this, not only a glorification of busyness in our country specifically, there's this glorification of working yourself to death, like being a workaholic. And people, when they talk about sleep, it's almost like, oh, I'm in the cool kids club because I don't get any sleep. And people joke about it. And they really seem to have an attitude that they can't fix their sleep. Like, do you, number one, do you observe that with a lot of the patients that you work with? And number two, when someone comes to you and they say, well, I never get more than 4 hours of sleep, and they think that they can't change it, do you work with them on specific steps? And have you been successful in helping people turn that around and realizing, you know what, it's not like a pill, not overnight will you start sleeping better, but you can dramatically improve your sleep?
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely do find that with my patients. I definitely find it with my younger patients, especially in their early 20s, and they're, you know, trying to figure out their career, who they are, what they're doing. So I do see a lot of patients at that age point really burning the candles at both ends. And then, you know, again, with patients in their 40s as well, when they're like, oh, wait, I'm getting older. I got to push into retirement and all these things. So I absolutely, you know, do see that. And without a doubt, that is the very first thing that I work on with my patients. So even before diet, even before exercise, I really go through their sleep behavior. And I do want to ensure they're at least getting, you know, the research says you want to get from 6 to 8 hours. And I do try to have patients to, you know, push closer to 8. And so with that, I will absolutely be doing that first with my patients. Because again, if they're not sleeping, they're not detoxifying, they're not resetting their body, and all these other body systems won't work as well. So I could be chasing, you know, let's say someone's immune system or nutrient deficiencies, but if they're not sleeping, I'm going to be forever chasing it. So you really want to get to, you know, sleep as the cornerstone so that, you know, then everything else will fall into place. And so, and I call it a sleep behavior, because it's that, you know, to answer that part of the question, it is absolutely that. Some people are like, well, I just can't do it. And it is about changing a pattern. So let's say people are used to going to bed, let's say 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I say, you know, go to bed 15 minutes early for 3 nights in a row, and you drop it back every 15 minutes, every 3 nights. And you have to get the body used to that. And have a wind down routine, be disciplined about the sleep in terms of, okay, no iPads or cell phones before bed, because that's stimulating and does change our circadian rhythm. Making sure you do have the room set up that it is a sanctuary, that you have the blackout shades, and the room is kind of feng shuied, if you will, in terms of not being like a garbage dump like a storage container. And so you really want to make it a place that is a place that you can be most serene and you can quiet your mind. I always recommend patients to do a meditation before bed. You know how I start my day, I pray every morning and I meditate every night before bed. So I feel like it bookends my day, right, very nicely. And, and they have these so many great apps that people can listen to before bed, whether they're a 2-minute meditation or a 20-minute meditation, really just to kind of, you know, recap the day, because a lot of times people who have insomnia and have issues is that it's the only quiet time that they get in the day, because they are plowing and trying to busy themselves to death. It's the only time when our inner self, you know, really gets to speak to us, or our spirit gets to speak to us. So when people have that, you know, monkey mind at night, it's just because your body's just trying to like process, you know, what you're doing and what was the day and all the energy. So really giving yourself ample time to kind of process that and do that meditation and let that stuff go so that you can really have that deep restorative sleep. You know, people can do that. And if some people still have issues, then I do recommend some supplementation, you know, naturally rather than through pharmaceutical. But it does work. I mean, it works every time.
It makes me sad to see how many people that I'll just observe on Facebook that talk about using like hardcore prescription sleep aids, and they seem to have, and they're, it's almost crying out for help, right? They're on Facebook and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm taking, I don't want to mention any names, but some serious hardcore with major side effects sleep aids. And I just don't think enough people realize that, like you said at the beginning of the show, so much of this is in your own control. Don't just assume you have to take a pill to fall asleep because you have issues. Dedicate yourself to testing some of this out, and no, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, if you want to stop going to bed at 1 in the morning, like you mentioned, I love how you said take it back in 15-minute increments instead of saying, okay, I'm going to try to, some people, they try to go completely the 180 overnight, right? Like, instead of going to bed at 1, they're going to say, no, I really want to get up at 5, so I'm going to go to bed at 9. That's not going to happen. Take those baby steps. And also, just to reiterate what you said, Pina, myself, I started really dedicating myself to meditation. My therapist was insisting on it. She said I was a little high strung after the chaotic year I've had. And I have been able to see how much more calm and less reactive I am to stress and to unexpected chaos in my business day, strictly because I'm doing what you said. At the end of the day and at the beginning of the day, I have that meditation. I personally use Headspace app, but I've also used some guided meditation as well, and it's worked for me. I actually have a whole list of meditation resources on my Mr. Owl page. You guys can check that out as well. I'm adding to that all the time. It's made a huge difference. So for those of you that are hesitant and haven't tried meditation, highly recommend it. It can help your sleep. It'll also help just stress. You also talked, you know, in some of these, we won't be able to hit on all of them, but for everybody listening, we are going to have Pina back on the show to do a little deeper dive for some of this stuff. But what about food, Pina? I mean, there's a lot of people that are probably the same people burning the candle at both ends that are eating a lot of crap and not realizing it has an effect not only on your health, you know, what you weigh on the scale, but how you look and how you feel. What do you work with your clients on when it comes to food and making food changes? What are the biggest mistakes you see in the food area?
Right. I think the biggest thing that most people don't realize, and I'd love everyone to know, that the majority of our immune system is in our digestive tract. Over 75% of our immune system is in our digestive tract. So when you hear about chronic diseases like heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, everyone talks about inflammation. But what the problem is in the media, that they don't equate what you're eating with that's what's triggering the inflammation. So from my standpoint, you know, the biggest thing that people have to realize is that what, you know, you are what you eat. It's really looking at what you eat, how you eat, how you prepare your foods, because all those things will not only impact chronic diseases, but also impact your skin and what it looks like. There's actually one of my favorite things to talk about is something called AGES, which is advanced glycated end products. So when people are high heat, cook their food with high heat, which is like grilling or frying, what happens when proteins and sugars get together on the food is that it creates these compounds called AGES that literally age you. It would cause high cholesterol. It would actually cause a diminishing of the collagen in your skin. So it's not even just what you eat, it's how you prepare your foods that make a huge, huge impact with how you look. So it's extremely important, like next to sleep, you know, how and what you're eating is very important for people to make more awareness to and be more mindful.
Is that something that we can link up to in the show? I've never heard that before, and I find that fascinating about grilling.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely in my book, you know, this advanced glycated end products, and I have a whole little section on this AGES. So, but I mean, you could always Google AGES and food, and you'll see a ton of information about how it triggers inflammation and literally ages your vessels and your skin.
Okay, good. And one of the things that I have realized personally in, you know, again, doing research for the issues that I have, I started off with insulin resistance. I've actually been able to really make that a lot better where, you know, it's not showing up in my blood work anymore. But with Hashimoto's and again, adrenal fatigue, I just started doing all the research with the food contributors. And for me, I've always had a sensitivity to dairy. I think the more I'm reading about that, so many people do. But the beautiful thing is there's so many alternatives. And yet I know when it comes to skin, it's very common that dairy products can have a negative, am I right? They can have a really negative effect on the skin for so many people, causing acne or you know, skin issues. And I don't think many people realize that starting to just test out certain foods, or like you said, you know, the whole grilling thing, there could be things affecting just the elasticity and the appearance of your skin from strictly what you're eating. And would you say that's just as true potentially, not for everybody, but that both gluten and dairy can be things that people should probably be looking into as far as how it's affecting their skin, as well as, you know, potentially how it's making you feel? I used to eat both those things and I was bloated all the time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely things that are very well known in research that are the common food allergens or sensitivities, which is wheat, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts. You know, so what I would tell patients to do, you know, they could pick one or two of those and eliminate them from their diet for a couple weeks and really see how their body feels and responds. You know, some people who do have a more sensitive constitution may need to take out all of those things, but if you're doing okay, but you really want a better sense of vitality or you want to fix your digestion or your skin, you know, absolutely eliminating gluten and dairy would be the first two areas that I would pick for patients, because you have to realize the food in this country is not the same quality as food in Europe. I mean, we have, you know, poor nutrient dense soils. Our foods are more processed. Our breads have a lot more gluten in them than they even put in Europe. Even the dairy industry, you have a lot more hormones and pesticides. So, you know, the quality of what we're ingesting here in itself is inflammatory, as in comparison is somewhat, because I could have patients that, who can have gluten and dairy sensitivity, but can go to Europe and happily eat them with no problem. So it's really about looking at foods and how it's affecting your body and how it functions, and, you know, just being more mindful, you know. And I tell patients who, you know, initially will freak out, oh my God, I could never again have this. And I'm like, you know, it's not forever. If you really start healing your body and you're more conscious about what you're doing and you stay away from it, you know, here and there, if you have a family party or an event that's special to you and you want to have something, enjoy. Life is meant to be enjoyed. But, you know, if you're having it on a daily basis, that's, you know, and it's contributing to chronic disease and illness, you know, it's something where, again, you have the complete authority to make that change and to heal yourself.
I think that's actually, and I know we're coming up on our time here, so I need to respect that, but that's really a good point for us, I think, to close on your first appearance here on our show. And I'm excited to have you back. I want to give everybody a preview of maybe some of the things that we'll cover, but really, I think that that's a great place, that phrase or that word, mindfulness. That is one of the things that my therapist is working with me on and my business coach as well. And the more that you become mindful and just slow down, and like Pina said, the more that you start to pay attention how foods affect you, what happens when you remove them, you know, you can make better choices. For me, like, I know there's certain foods I avoid. I tend to follow a paleo kind of ketosis approach to my diet. And I say it's an approach because it's not hard and fast rules. But when I go and I have certain things on the gluten side, I know certain things will give me an immediate headache. And then I can make a mindful choice. Do I want to have that gluten thing that I know is going to give me an immediate headache, or do I want that piece of carrot cake? On the other hand, there's certain things that don't bother me at all on the dairy side. You know, I can have pizza, thank God, and it doesn't upset me, but other dairy things do. So mindfulness is really something that, as you start to maybe approach meditation, start giving yourself some quiet time at the beginning of the end of the day and incorporating some of these really simple tips that don't cost you a dime that Pina has talked about today, you're going to start to be able to become more in tune with your body, with your health, and then you explore bigger changes. So just as we wrap up, I'm going to ask you, Pina, in just one second to tell people where they can find you online, where they can buy your book, but to give everybody a preview of maybe some of the things we'll talk about when we have Pina back on the show. I mentioned earlier the things that she works with her clients on and what she discusses in her book, The Little Book of Healthy Beauty: sleep, food, exercise, relaxation, detoxification, and supplement support. And a couple of the things as well that we'll address, I was hoping we'd get to this question, but we'll use this as a teaser for next time, Pina. It says, one of the main causes of older looking skin is unrelated to sun damage. And this, I think, would be a good topic for us to discuss. What is skin stiffening and how can we prevent it? So that's a little teaser for maybe one of the things we'll have Pina answer when she is back on the show. But Pina, thank you so much for being on the show for this first interview. We will have you back. Tell folks where they can find you online and where they can buy your book.
Oh, great. Thank you. It's been an absolute honor. You can either go to my website, which is www.innersourcehealth.com, which is INNERSOURCE health.com, or you could always look for it on Amazon.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I know you have to hop. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. We'll have Pina back in the show very soon, and we will link up to everything in the show notes. Have a great day, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.